Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode. It's been a super crazy year that's left me with very little free time for editing this podcast, and I know it's been a while since we saw each other last, but I couldn't be more excited to finally share today's episode with you all. I'm Elijah Morgan, and this is Boiled Over. What a year. I've taught more classes in the last 12 months than I have in my entire life, got to make a few very fun films, hosted an animation screening with over 80 different shorts, and switched my entire workflow for both 2 and 3D over to Blender. I'm in love with Grease Pencil. For this episode, we're going to time travel all the way back to October of last year, when I first sat down with one of my all-time favorite artists and animators, Michelle Koo. In the time since we first spoke, Michelle has become one of my closest friends, and I feel so lucky to have gotten to meet and speak with her through this platform. Michelle, without further ado, would you mind introducing yourself and the work that you make?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Michelle. I make a lot of different things, but mainly right now it's paintings and animations and also some murals and like little clay sculptures just for fun sometimes. But I've been freelancing for about 2.5 years and painting and animating like a lot longer than that. I think probably like 10 years or something weird. Like
oh,
that.
Wow. Yeah. So when did you initially like first get started in animation? And what kind of made you stick with it along the way?
It's so weird because I feel like I've always like watched animation and I've always been into it, but it wasn't until maybe high school that I was like, oh, I could try this, like try a bit of Flash and stuff. But I ended up studying graphic design. So I feel like I think I was quite naive when I was young and I was like, this is the only way to like make money as an artist. And this is like what I can do to like survive. But I didn't really realize like I could do animation or I didn't like think of myself like that. But I kept like always wanting to do animation. So it kept like creeping back up into my life. Like I'd just do it. I'd like do it in Flash. And in my third year, we could specialize in, I think, 4 different things. And there was one called Moving Image. So I specialized in that. And then inside that, there was animation, but there was also like experimental stuff, like installations, interactive stuff, but I was just there.
Also video like, work or just like everything kind of?
Yeah, like film too, film and like cameras and that video.
Oh, cool.
Work. Yeah. So yeah.
And so when you were doing like animation work like initially, while you were kind of still in school then, what kind of like themes were you exploring? Was it similar to the stuff that you do now or was it completely different?
It was pretty silly stuff. Like, it was very different. It wasn't like the themes I'm exploring now. It was kind of like, I did this one really silly animation. It was like a paper cut stop motion. It's called Tubes. It was about this chicken that was like growing giant boobs basically, because it was genetically modified and
chicken boobs.
Yeah, it was chicken boobs. I was like, I had a phase where I was just like learning a lot about that stuff. And so that like crept into my work. But yeah, it was very different from what I'm doing now.
Learning a lot about chicken boobs?
Yeah, well, like not chicken boobs, like other like agriculture and like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm curious. I do ask because like your work is so thematic now to me and it feels like super calming and meditative. And I'm wondering why you choose to revolve around these themes in your work. And like, I guess if creating the work for you also evokes these same feelings of calmness and meditation while you're actually producing it.
Most of the time, ideally in the best time, yes. I feel like it was kind of a struggle to get to even a place where I felt like calm and like able to kind of get stuff out there like without my perfectionism, and I still like struggle with it a lot. But I think like that's one part of it, just like being able to like have a bunch of imperfections which people probably don't even notice, and just like being able to like be like, this is 70% done, and I can kind of like be like, this is enough, like you can stop now, like you can just go from the sketch and go to the painting and not do like a million different variations of color or whatever. Because I feel like that was one of the things that really like blocked me, was like having to do all of these different variations and not being able to finish something, and I would get really frustrated. So when I realized that was kind of like what was frustrating me about my process, I can't remember. I didn't just like discover this on my own, but someone said, what would it look like if it was easy? And I was like thinking about that a lot. And I was like, oh yeah, then I guess I'd just go to the next stage and start coloring it. And I just think about the colors. And
was that hard for you to let go of though?
Yeah, I think I like let go of it just because I like felt like I was running out of time. I was like, if I want to make anything, at this point I have to.
Right.
I think going back to the other part of the question about the themes, I went through like a topical steroid withdrawal like maybe 7 years ago. It was just like in my last year of uni. I think for people who don't know what that is, it's like people who have eczema are often prescribed like steroid cream, which is like really terrible for you, it turns out. But because it like influences your hormones and everything, like, and it like stops the inflammation, but it really messes up your body. And I was using that for like a long, long time, like probably like 18, 15 years.
Oh my gosh. And, wow.
Yeah. My like skin was like getting, like it wasn't getting any better. And long story short, like I basically had to cut that out, and I was changing a lot of like my diet to kind of help that process. Cause I learned like, oh, I can heal my skin through like healing my gut. And like, I was not eating good. I was eating like just like cereal, and like, I was like not taking care of myself. So through that, I kind of started like healing other things, like my mental health. And then after I kind of got to a place that I was a lot better, I realized I have like so many feelings and thoughts. And so then it just like felt good to like put that into my work. Like it was felt good for me, which is why I started doing it, I think.
Do you feel like those things came up just because you were able to kind of like get back in your body and have that connection between the mind and the body again? Yeah. Because I feel like that's another really strong theme in your work as well.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it. Because I think when I felt disconnected, I had all of those frustrations, like I mentioned, like just like redoing things over and over, or like not being like nice to myself, basically. And then when I like was forced to like heal and be better like to myself, I think that like helped my art a lot in ways that I didn't really think it would, or like predict it could happen, which was cool. It was great.
Thank yeah. you, first of all, for sharing. I know that that can't be like an easy thing. Also, like, what a beautiful thing. I guess not that you had to go through this, but what you got out of it. Because yeah. I feel like, especially in the world of animation, people really generally don't take care of their bodies, and they don't listen to their bodies. And they're very neglectful of, you know, what they need and how to take care of themselves even. But we drive ourselves crazy. And so I don't know. I think that that's a really important thing to hear and kind of remember and keep in mind, just how important that is, not only for your body itself, but also for your creative practice and your mind, and how linked the two inherently are. I feel like one of the most stressful parts of animation, or being an artist, at least for me, can be the freelance work. And so I'm kind of curious, what your journey through freelance has been like, and how you go about managing the stress that comes along with it.
I started freelancing basically when COVID started. So I think I was really lucky that like I was able to work from home, and like all these companies were basically hiring people they might not usually hire. And like I could try all these places that were like, you know, in the US or in the UK. I was in Canada when I started. I'd just come back home, and it was stressful when I first started, but I feel like it was a bit better because I was living at home, so I wasn't like super stressed out. I was trying to like pay off my student loans and just like gather myself together and like also kind of make time for personal work. But that was after like my hand had just healed, so I was like being really careful to like not push myself after too much, because I was like, oof, I don't want to go back there. But things that helped me, like really simple things, were like setting a Pomodoro timer. It's like sounds so silly, but it's like that 25 minute timer, and then it'll like go off like every 25 minutes, and then you take like a 5 or 15 minute break. And so I still need to like try and do it. Like sometimes I still like ignore it and I'm like, no, I need to like, but yeah, it's like there, you know.
No, I do exactly the same thing and I love it so much. But I don't know, sometimes it feels like so indulgent taking a break every 15 minutes, but then I have to remind myself that that's like actually healthy, you know.
Like, whoa. Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll just like take a break by like looking over there, and I'm like, no, at least like drink some water.
Yeah, at least like stand up. Like
it's like, yeah. And it's also hard because sometimes I feel like when I'm really in the flow of something, like I don't want to stop, right? Yeah. And I don't want it to sound like I like do that like military style. Like I definitely like don't always like adhere to that. It's just like, I think it's just like having that as a reminder is like already helps a little, even if I don't always do it. Like
it's nice to like have something to nag yourself to take a little break or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, okay.
If nothing else. Yeah, even if you don't take the break, just like feeling bad that you're not taking the break at the very least.
I feel like, or even like just like keeping track of time. I feel like I just like just get lost of time sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's been 25 minutes. Wild.
Well, so I guess I'm also curious here, in working in freelance and personal projects, you work in so many different mediums, and you mentioned that you've been working a lot with paint recently, particularly. So I'm wondering, in starting a project, how you decide which medium you want it to exist in, and if that's like immediately clear with the inception of the idea, or if that's something that you kind of play around with as you're building out the idea.
It's like, it isn't always super clear. I first started out like, I'll just like dump a bunch of ideas in my sketchbook, like super loose, like dump everything I think of in there. Really, it's really sketchy. And like, I do a lot of writing in there too. So I'll usually like look through there and see like what speaks to me or whatever, like what I want to do next. And then when I first started kind of painting again, it was because I felt like I didn't have time to animate, and I had all these like all of these rough ideas and like small kind of stories I wanted to tell, but I felt like if I were really to animate them, they'd take me like a month or two just to get one of them done. And I was feeling pretty impatient because I was like, I just want to like get one out there quickly. So I was thinking, okay, like I can do that through painting. And I was trying to work out a way to be able to, obviously it's not like the same, like I couldn't tell this exact same way, but I was like, can I get like kind of the essence across in the painting? And that got me like looking at like smear frames and like multiple frames in one image, because I was like, this is basically animating, but it was like just a lot faster. But now I like will have ideas for animations, and I think I just try and think about how I can do them so it's like I can have fun with them and not spend too long. Cause again, I think I start to overthink. Just me. I'm sure people can like do this normally, but like I know myself and I'm like, I need to figure out a way to like not go crazy. Yeah, people do it. And I'm like, how did you guys do
I
that?
don't
That's
know.
awesome.
Couldn't be me.
Help me. But yeah, I'm like trying to figure out a way to work around my brain and do it so it's like manageable.
Another thing I love so much about your work, and something I wanted to ask about, was kind of like how much movement even your still illustrations contain. And so hearing that you were kind of like looking to smear frames and multiples for references, makes a lot of sense. But I guess, A, I'm curious kind of what you were looking to for references, when you first started doing these. And B, I've seen you do some like smaller loops too. And so, yeah, I guess I am curious, like, what kind of idea still justifies animation in your mind versus a painting with a smear or multiple or something that already contains so much movement as a still?
Okay. I think I did have a period where I did separate animation and painting. Like I'd animate for work and then my painting was all my personal work. And I think I did that for like a year. And now I'm doing personal animation again because I feel like I made more time in my own schedule to be able to do that. And I also got a bit more just like comfy with the idea of like being able to do that again, like just slowly like easing back into it. Cause I wanted to do them all as animations, really. Like I love animating. I think I just like I'll have an idea sometimes in my sketchbook now, and I'm just like, this is an animation because I can see it. And the thinking about like justifying, like I could technically, yeah, you could technically animate anything, I guess, and animate any painting. But I think like it's so fresh. I think it's hard to answer because I feel like I just started getting back into this and I just did like one personal animation. So I feel like I'm still figuring it out because with that animation, that's like my one example I can kind of like point to.
Right.
I'm like, well, that was like my painting style, and I'm trying to figure out how to translate my painting style to using like acrylic painting with animations. Because before I was doing everything digitally, like in Flash and After Effects, and I kind of wanted to try like doing some traditional stuff, and now I'm trying to do it and. So I feel like a lot of it is still like I have a bunch of ideas for loops I want to do. Like I have a few ideas, and I think loops have been like a nice way for me to be able to like experiment without the stakes being too high. And also like, okay, it's short, so like I can kind of figure out the process and improve on each one and like figure it out rather than kind of like I guess making it too complicated because I know that I can't like deal with too much at once. So that's like my way of doing it that feels good for me.
Yeah, I mean that makes a lot of sense. As someone, who does still illustrations and animations and works in so many different mediums, you do kind of have to have like a little bit of separation, I feel like. But at the same time, it like all exists in your world, which I think is what's so cool about it.
Thanks.
Something like talking about the themes of your work, talking about like all that goes into it. I feel like color plays such an intense role, in your work, and also as like a thematic narrative device. And I'm wondering how you use color, in creating your work and kind of like what it means to you throughout your process.
I think like I'll think about like the mood, like I think first of all, and I'm like, what color does this kind of like feel like mood wise? Or like, are there like two or three main colors I kind of want to try exploring, like going together? But I tried to leave like a lot of room. Well, I just had to leave a lot of room for like kind of just intuition because I feel like that's where I'd like have a lot of fun. Like, I'd be like, put one color down and then being like, oh, this would look really good next to it. So How I'd start would be kind of like, okay, I know there are a few colors that I can like base it off of. Like maybe it's all like a purple background, or I know this character's hair is black. So I like put down everything I know, and then I like start doing the parts I don't know based on what's already there. But with like storytelling, I think the main thing is like the mood.
You do such a good job in conveying the mood and like the feeling of the piece just through the color before even kind of like looking at any content. So yeah, it's cool to hear kind of that you start kind of just with like this general vibe and
the
kind of,
vibe.
Yeah, build off of
yeah.
that. The
vibe.
vibe.
It's the vibe.
Well, working in like all of these mediums and, you know, everything that you do, you have also worked on so many projects and for so many clients too. And I'm wondering if you have like a favorite project you've ever gotten to work on, or if not an absolute favorite, maybe what your favorite kind of project generally is like to work on.
I like either really like it or I'm really struggling, and then I'll go back and be like, oh, that was really fun, or it changes with time and it's so mysterious. But I think I like working on different projects, like jumping on different mediums and stuff, because I was doing a bunch of like straight on animations. I was like at home for a long time, just like working at home, doing animation, drawing in my room, like not talking to anyone. And then I got a mural project, and that was super fun because I'd never really done one professionally before. And it was like, oh, this is so cool. I can finally do a mural. I like wanted to do it for a really long time. And it was also nice to like get outside of my house and like actually be in the world and like talk to people. It was
when,
like,
when was this again?
It was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't think I'd like that, but when I started doing it, I was like, oh, that is quite nice. Yeah, I like doing different things, like jumping between different stuff.
Yeah, I guess kind of like getting out and back into the world and like doing this mural project and everything. I feel like you must have gotten to work on a lot of solo projects and a lot of projects with teams over
yeah.
the years in different kind of environments. And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your history kind of with working in teams versus working solo on projects and kind of like what the ups and downs to both are.
When I first started out, I was interning and I was in an office, and that was really cool because it felt like very official. And I was like, wow, like this is a real job, and I'm going and there's like all these cool people here. And it was kind of nice to like, yeah, be around other creative people and like also like just like have a routine, like to go out and have to get dressed and eat lunch and stuff. But yeah, I think like at that time I also had like a lot of social anxiety. So when I was in the office, like it was quite bad at times. Like sometimes I couldn't even really like speak, or I just like freeze up for like absolutely like no reason and just feel anxious all day long. Yeah, and that was also the time where I was still kind of healing from my skin stuff, so I think that was making it worse. Because I also like didn't really feel comfortable talking about it at that time, and like I couldn't really go out to like eat at like normal places either, so it felt to me like
right
strange to like explain that, like. But then after that, it was COVID and I was like working from home all the time, so that was really good for where I was at that time, because I like had like basically like 2 years to like not be anxious, like, and or like be by myself and just be like, okay, cool, I don't have to deal with all of that right now. And it was really nice.
Right.
But again, like I did come to a point where I was like, okay, I've been like working from home for like 2 years, and I don't think this is like, I do miss talking to people, and even like talking on like chat is different. So that's why that mural project was really nice.
I'm sure. Yeah. Getting a little bit back to kind of like the themes of your work. One of the things that first drew me to it was how unbelievably cute your characters are. I couldn't get enough of them when I first saw your work, and I still can't. But I was kind of wondering if you could talk a little bit more about these characters.
Okay, thank you, first of all. And I think I just am like naturally drawn to cute stuff. Like I like it, which is why I draw it. I don't think I can really change that. I did have a period where I was doing more serious stuff, but I just have so much more fun when I draw the cute stuff. So I've been like learning about this thing called internal family systems parts therapy. Such a long name,
Okay.
but for short, it's just called IFS parts therapy. And it's the idea that there's like different parts of us. Not that there's like different like multiple personalities, although that's like an extreme variation of it, but just like, the part that's anxious or the part that wants to eat like pizza. And but so
You're
like
talking about the two wolves inside of me.
the two wolves, yeah, the two wolves, except there's like 5 million wolves. You're like,
For
oh
no, for me, it's
my
just anxious and pizza.
anxious, just anxious and pizza. Oh God, yeah. But yeah, like my characters are based off of like those different parts. Like I just started like doing them and I was like, this is a good way to like externalize my feelings and kind of like figure myself out in a way. I was like, this makes sense and it's pretty fun. Like it's making this process more fun and like learning about myself. So yeah, I gave them all like different character designs and yeah, they just started showing up and I was like, who are you? Oh, okay.
I love
Yeah.
that so much because, yeah, I noticed that there's kind of recurring characters throughout your work. And I wanted to ask about that and ask kind of like who these were and like, for example, who the bunny creature that sometimes pops up is.
Well, he's a cat, but I feel like people like see my characters and it's different for everyone,
The
but
cat. Okay, forgive me.
whatever, it's okay. It's okay. It's I'm not trying to be like you're that's wrong. Like that's not I'm just like who? Yeah, that guy. There's different versions of this character, the cat or the bunny. It's like for me, it's like it has different forms. So one form of it is like there's like the stray cat and it's kind of like more like a dusty and like on the side of the road and kind of like sad. That hasn't showed up too much. I think it's in like one painting. It's in the basement in that one painting where it's like a house and it's in the basement. So that's like the part of me that I discovered was like feeling kind of like abandoned and like a little stray cat like wandering the streets,
Oh.
Like, I know it was really like a
Yeah.
really precious part that was like needed a lot of love. And then I started just drawing it and it started wearing this little hat and I felt like that's when it like felt like it was more like maybe it had been adopted or like it was taking care of itself like it had some clothes or something. I don't know.
Did something change in your life when the clothes started popping up, when the hat started popping up?
Like I wish I could say like yes, it was like this exact moment, but I can't even pinpoint like when this cat came in or when it was wearing clothes or not. It feels like all a blur. Like it feels like I don't
It's just
know.
taken a complete life of its own and
It just
wardrobe of its own.
yeah, it just started like yeah. Sometimes like I'm looking at this sketch right now and it like also has a little cape, but I haven't like drawn out those part like so much of it is still in my sketchbook, but yeah, like recently I did that painting where it's like journaling and it's wearing the little hat. And I feel like that's like the best version. That's like it's living its best life. And that's so,
I
yeah.
guess in a way, all of these characters are kind of self-portraits then, right?
Oh man. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think like they are all parts of me, but it's nice because I feel like those characters do give me like some distance, but at the same time, I can be like, yeah, there's like part of me that's like that, and also not.
Getting like a little specific, I'd love to talk about your interstitials you did for cake.
Oh,
They're such gorgeous, magical, fun little loops. And yeah, I was just curious what your process was like for creating these.
Those are so fun because I had been like exploring these like looping, more experimental stuff because in freelance I was doing more like technical character animations, and then I wanted to be like looser, and I was like posting these little loops online, and they were like all really colorful rainbow loops, like sprinkles kind of. Yeah, I got the email from Cake, and they gave like a lot of creative freedom, which I was like really shocked by. I'm really happy, also intimidated, because I was like, oh, like now I have to decide on something, and it's like, you know, I was
Right.
that. It's like, oh shit, okay. Yeah. So this one was like, it was very open, so I just decided to try and go with what I was already doing, because I was like, I might as well. And it wasn't very much time either. I think it was like a month to do all four of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I remember it being me feeling like, oh no, like I don't have much time. And but then I was like, okay, I'm already doing these loops, and they're quite experimental, so I think it'll work. But the part I struggled was with, they were like, give us some style frames. And I was like, I was so scared that it would change because it's so experimental that it will change, right? Because they're
Right.
like abstract loops, like they're like, and then I was like, oh no, I have to like deliver these style frames. I was so stressed out. But luckily they were like, they were really nice. They were like, it's fine, like we know it's gonna change. And I think it was my first project where I had like that freedom. So I didn't know how it worked. So I was like used to kind of being like locked in. I was like, are you gonna get mad at me if like it changes? But
Right.
it was okay. Yeah.
It's fun to hear about because they're like so beautiful and they feel so spontaneous and improvisational, I guess. So yeah, it's cool to hear about kind of creating these and behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah, like the more technical part would be like I animated them in Flash, and I was using like a lot of looping symbols, which helped like create detail and save time. And then that was like one of the first times I was like compositing a bit more, so that was really fun because I was like adding some filters and stuff, and it's like, ooh. Yeah,
What were you compositing in?
in After Effects.
And do you usually use Flash for your animations? Has that been what you've used for like most client work as well?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Because I think like most of my freelancing has been like commercials or like music videos. So because Toon Boom's more like TV and kind of like that industry. But luckily, like those studios, a lot of them use Flash, and they were fine with me using Flash. Sometimes they'll use TV Paint. I would really still love to learn TV Paint when I have time.
I'm in the same boat. Well, we just have a couple more questions here before we wrap up, but I was wondering where you generally gather inspiration for your work, and whether that's like contemporary influences or things that you loved as a child that kind of still you carry with you, or yeah, anything.
No, this is a great chance to talk about Neopets, and
Oh my gosh.
I think Neopets has had a great impact on me, my brain, because like now, like especially doing the parts therapy and like all these characters, I keep going back to Neopets, and just like that kind of style of video game where you have like a character and you're like kind of taking care of it, and then there's like the paint brushes and you can like customize them. You play Neopets, right? Or did
There were like two incredibly formative Neopets games for me. Like that I spent probably like hundreds and hundreds of hours on as a kid.
were the keys?
I think one was called Ice Cream Machine
Oh my
and Mirka Chase, which was just like a fun snake
God.
version.
Yeah, I remember both of those. I was like, I wouldn't say I was obsessed, but I did spend like definitely hours playing them. I think I liked like the map part. You know how you could like explore the different worlds and stuff? That got me like going to collect the daily omelet and stuff like that. Like That was so cool.
That I feel like I got my fix for that kind of stuff through Club Penguin.
Oh
And
yeah.
then like and then all the mini games were Neopets for me.
Oh, okay. No, Club Penguin was also like another one where it was the same thing, like same reason.
Oh yeah.
Club Penguin had good mini games though. They had that pizza one with
I my formative one on Club Penguin was with the espresso beans where they like throw them off the
fun. Yeah, there were other things that influenced me too. It's not like just purely
It's
Neopets.
just Neopets.
Yes, Neopets, that's it. That's all I care about. No, okay, so it was weird because I think I like went back to it. Like I went back to my childhood influences like just like 2 or 3 years ago. Like I was conscious of them. I think before that I wasn't really conscious of them. But then when I became conscious, I was like, oh, let me like really think about them a lot more. So this is a great excuse to have fun. And yeah, another one was SpongeBob. And I think
Of
like,
course.
of course, right? Like the animation, everything is so good.
Do you have a
And
favorite episode?
I remember that one where Squidward traveled in time, right? And he was like, that one was really funny.
He ends up in like the Chrome room,
Yeah,
like
it was so like surreal. That's one that I still remember just because it was so weird. And he was like rocking back and forth, like just for like a children's cartoon, right? It was like so absurd.
Yeah, I have a lot of memories from I think multiple shows, but SpongeBob in particular, where it's like just almost like haunting stuff that as a child, like it's not funny. It's only funny as an adult, just the absurdity that it would even be in the cartoon in the first place. But as a kid, you don't really understand that absurdity, and it just sticks with you.
It sticks with me so deeply. Okay, I'm thinking of other episodes too, like the one where like he becomes normal or like he visits
Oh my
that
God.
where everyone's normal and he's like loses his pores. That was like that had an impact on me. And
Definitely.
sorry, one more before I forget, the one where he goes to the underground one where they all like do the like the
Oh,
like language. Yeah, that
when
one.
SpongeBob goes to Chicago.
Chicago. That episode was so, I think I liked that it was a bit creepy. Like I liked that it was creepy, but not enough for me to actually be scared. Yeah.
Same with the one where he like shaves his head and it's the brain and he's got
Oh.
the wooden clogs for Halloween.
I don't like remember the exact episode, but I remember that image. Like
Yeah, no, I don't remember nothing
of
else
him
other
like
than that
the
image.
open brain.
Okay, well those are three incredible references for like SpongeBob inspiration.
Gotta hold on to those. Yeah.
Yeah, we just have one last question here, which is yeah, if there was one piece of advice that you could give to aspiring animators or people looking to stick with the medium, what would that be? And this can be something that you wish you'd told yourself when you were younger, something you wish you could tell yourself now, if you'd listen. But yeah, anything that comes to mind.
Like the first thing that comes to mind is like the health thing, but we kind of already talked about that, like just taking care of your body, 'cause I really thought like, no, the only way I can succeed is if I wreck myself, like if I go
Right.
100%, but that like ended up making everything worse. But we already talked about that, so see if I can think of
I think it's important to reiterate,
something.
though.
Yeah, I think just because it's like a medium that like it requires so much work like intrinsically just because of how it is. Like, so I don't know. Yeah, just like don't draw too hard. Take care of your hands and like stand up and drink water and really, truly, yeah.
I think that is some of the best advice that's been given on this podcast. Don't draw too hard.
Don't try too hard. Yeah,
For
gently.
both your physical and mental health. Well,
Yes.
yeah, no, I think that that is amazing advice and a perfect note to end on. So
Well,
yeah, again, Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today. It truly just meant the world getting to speak with you. again, I've just
Lush, thank
been
you
wanting
so much
to
for
speak with you
having me.
forever. So yeah, of
Oh
course, of
my God. Thank you.
course.
This is it's really cool to be on here because I was listening to the podcast and I don't know, and just thank you for having me. It feels like an honor. I'm like, there's been so many cool guests and you're so cool. I'm like, thank you.
Thank you all so much for tuning into this episode. I'm truly so grateful for everyone who listens to this podcast. Keep your eyes peeled for the next episode of Boiled Over, featuring yet another one of my all-time favorite animators, Dina Springer. Until next time, I'm Lige Morgan, and this was Boiled Over.